Okay, a couple days away from the Super Bowl. It's good to have you with us, Rick Ballew and Hayes Carline. This is our podcast. We call it Death, Taxes, and Duval. First things first, Hayes, thank our sponsor.
Yeah, appreciate John Spickelmeyer at Spickelmeyer Insurance Agency. Great guy. I've known him going all the way back to high school. And just a phenomenal guy. And does such a great job with car insurance. Has saved me a lot of money. Can do the same thing for you. Give him a call at 471-7155. Again, just have him go over your policy. Make sure you're not paying too much. And John can do that. And he'll either tell you, you got a great policy, I can't help you, or he's going to be able to save you some cash. So you've got nothing to lose. Give John a call, 471-7155, Spickelmeyer Insurance Agency, Rick Ballew.
Yeah, Spickelmeyer. It sounds like a football player. Give me 11 Spickelmeyers, and we'll hit the seam here, and we'll hit the seam there, and we'll win some games.
It was amazing because John was incredible at bowls. He was like basically a starter right out of the gate. And that team, obviously that program was sensational. And Corky Rogers in film, because he saw so much potential in John, Spickelmeyer would always get a heavy share of the yelling during Monday film session. And there was few things better in life than watching a play and all of a sudden Corky Rogers goes, Spickelmeyer!
Well, let's get to it. Trevor Lawrence has addressed the folks here in Jacksonville. I know that Spickelmeyer read it. I know that Carline read it. I know that Ballew read it. But let's spell it out for those who don't have time, because it takes probably 90 seconds to get through it all. Unbelievable. What an address. This is simply incredible. I didn't see it coming. He did it in the Players Tribune, where it's all about you and your thoughts. But, I mean, this is a 23-year-old man who tells you exactly what you want to hear, how fired up he is for the future, how disappointed he is right now that they're not still playing in the game. And to get this from a kid of this age, or a young man of this age, to say what he just said to this fan base is nothing short of completely incredible.
I agree. I was absolutely blown away by how well it was done and the thoughts that Trevor communicated and so many topics that he addressed. And so it's well worth your time. If you're a Jaguars fan, and obviously you are if you're listening to this, if you have not read this already, absolutely make it a point to find it because it's going to be one of the best things that you read all year. And the thing that I liked about it, Rick, from a competitive standpoint, and you hit at it, it's not a, boy, we had a great year and weren't we great and I'm so excited. There's a lot of chippiness isn't the right word, but Trevor has an edge to him that I think – in the draft process, it didn't really show. Obviously, he didn't have to go through a lot of adversity at Clemson. But one of my favorite movies is Braveheart. And there's a scene in the movie late where the guy that betrays Mel Gibson, William Wallace, is talking to his leprosy dad. And he says, you're ready to be king. You've learned how to hate. Trevor Lawrence learned how to hate this year. Like, the fact that they lost to the Chiefs, you can tell, supremely pisses him off to this day. And that's great. That's what you have to have. I mean, that is what you have to be great in anything. You have got to take it to heart. Defeats have to sting. And you've got to vow that it's not going to happen again if there's anything you can do about it. And that's the biggest takeaway I had from it. Is there is no patting each other on the back because they had a magnificent close to the season. There's not a, boy, I just posted one of the best playoff comebacks ever. When he references that, he thanks the fans for staying. I really took away that this is a guy who is gunning for the heavyweight title next year, a Super Bowl championship and a Lombardi trophy.
There's been a cowardly response by athletes for generations, and it sounds a little bit like this. I don't care what the media says. I don't read the newspapers. I don't listen to talk radio. Not the case here for Trevor Lawrence. He comes right out and goes after a couple of his demons. Most importantly, the talk of him being a bust. He was aware of it. He heard it, and it happened. And again, what's great about fans is you said it. Many of you said it. It doesn't matter. It's disappeared into thin air. Or if you post it on Twitter, you know, it may be archived, but who's really going to go back and look for it? Lawrence acknowledges this, and he responds to it. He is aware of it. And to me, again, considering how young he is, the maturation at this point in his career, to come out and let it be known that, yeah, he recognizes what was said, and he worked extra hard to try to change that, and obviously he did. Another part in that, Hayes, that I wasn't aware of, and, you know, I mean, you and I are pretty close to the program, but his point about after the coaching change, how there were obviously players there who didn't want to be there. They just did not want to be a part of this organization was really intriguing to me because, you know, what it says, the long really spiel of it, in my opinion, is, you know, they made the right moves. They brought in the right head coach in Doug Peterson. They brought in the right assistant coaches, and the entire atmosphere of the Jacksonville Jaguars changed. But you almost never hear that. I mean, I don't care if it's Urban Meyer, if it's Doug Marrone, Gus Bradley, or Doug Peterson. Everyone wins the press conference. The players are always going to say the same thing, the canned answer. And for him to come out and say that as well in the piece that he wrote was another thing that caught me by surprise, but I'm really impressed that he said it.
Yeah, I am too. And now I'm eager to see where they take this. Everything is perfect on February 8th. You couldn't change anything. Wouldn't change anything about how the season went. Certainly how they're viewing it. But it's going to be really interesting to see how the front office handles this, how the coaching staff handles all of this, and how the players handle all of this, because now you've got expectations. And this is going to be another thing. It's why I love what Trevor wrote. Because you're putting yourself out there. I mean, now if you go 7-10 next year, it's going to be an absolute disaster with a capital D. And 7-10 for this franchise hasn't been really all that bad over the last decade. But it will be a colossal disappointment next year. Really, frankly, anything I would say short of 9 wins is going to be incredibly disappointing, especially if that doesn't include an AFC South repeat. I like it. I like the fact that they're, you know, this is going to be a signal to the rest of the team that we're not pumping the brakes here. You know, we're not doing anything here except telling the world that this was just the start of something and we're ready to hit the accelerator. He didn't have to write this. I mean, he could have written something that's just, you know, hey, I'm glad the fan stayed when we were, you know, getting destroyed by the Chargers in the first half. I mean, he takes this in a variety of places. And so the fact that this was an elective that Trevor decided to do, I think he's sort of, you know, thrown the gauntlet down and said to the rest of the team, not that it probably had to be said, but I like the fact that he's the leader. This next year isn't going to be good enough. Next year is a team that we believe can make a run at the Lombardi Trophy. And obviously we know Doug Peterson feels that way. It'll be interesting to see what moves the front office makes with general manager Trent Baalke. Because you got to believe, I mean, they were all in this past year. They spent to win. And what kind of moves are they going to be able to make and willing to make to make sure they keep this thing together? Rick, I think they're going all in. I am really excited to see what they are able to do with these restructures and the money it creates. And maybe there is. I thought Calvin Ridley would be the big piece this offseason. But the tone that Trevor has set, I'm very anxious to see if they can create enough space to not just keep Ingram, Taylor, and Key, but maybe go out and add another big-time player in addition to Calvin Ridley.
You know, it could happen. You got to manage this cap, and obviously Trent Baalke said cash is more important than the cap. There's several ways
to swing it. I still think there's going to be a surprise move coming. Of course, next week at this time, Calvin Ridley can reapply for reinstatement, and then we'll see what happens after the fact. Again, real quickly to listeners out there, go ahead and check out this article written by Trevor Lawrence. It's an article for you. It's an article for Jaguar fans, but along the way, he has only increased what people think about him here in the city and around the league as well. Let's wrap it up with this. I think this is also very important, and that is stability for Trevor Lawrence in this football team. Trevor's had three different offenses in 3 years, if you go to his final year at Clemson. And, you know, coaches now are being asked to consider other jobs. Jim Bob Cooter's gone to Carolina and Tampa Bay for interviews as the offensive coordinator. He's the passing game coordinator here. You look at the young Press Taylor. He was given an opportunity to go back with Frank Reich and call plays in Carolina. That move was blocked by Frank Reich's friend in Doug Peterson. And this is something Peterson did before in Philadelphia. Loyalty may have cost him his job, depending on who you talk to, when he was fired by the Eagles. But I love this. I mean, the idea of Trevor coming back with Peterson, Cooter, Taylor, and McCoy, and having those five back for another year of being able to add what they want to do offensively, I think is huge in the growth of this team.
I totally agree. I mean, not only are there going to be nuances that they weren't able to really get to in year one, because everything is an install. You get to the offseason program, you're installing the offense. You get to mandatory minicamp, which they elected not to have, but that usually is another quick reinstall. You get to training camp, you're reinstalling. You know, a lot of coaches, first-year coaches, like to do three different installs to feel like the team has it. Well, obviously, if you're the Jaguars, you're Doug Peterson, you're beyond that. You're well beyond that. So you're working on nuances of the offense. You're able to tailor it to Trevor even more than you were able to last year, because now you have a really good sense of what he likes and what he doesn't. And you're not under the pressure of getting ready for a game. So you can have open, methodical discussions about the concepts in the scheme. The other thing, too, is Trevor Lawrence, I don't think, is gotten to a point yet where he's really able to diagnose what the opposing defense wants to do. And I think a big part of this offseason is that brain trust, watching film with Trevor, watching certainly defenses in the division and the schemes that they will be running, and really starting to hone in on this. If you see this, this is what you do, and that anticipation. Because if this kid gets that, Rick, I mean, he might be in the MVP conversation. If you were to tell me in the next year that Trevor Lawrence's ability to diagnose what the opponent is doing is going to grow exponentially, I would say then the sky's the limit for him, because the familiarity with Doug Peterson's offense, his talent, the surrounding cast that he has around him, the missing pieces, can Trevor become a cerebral assassin? And I think he absolutely now has the opportunity to grow in that role because everything's installed. He can work on the nuances of his craft.
There's no question about it. It's going to be fun, and obviously some things have to be tied together. And obviously health is going to be incredibly important. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered about this football team. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered by all 32 NFL teams, and we'll tackle them each and every week. All right, let's wrap with a pick. You know, I keep going back and forth. I got to tell you, this is one of the hardest Super Bowls for me to try to decide who to pick. And, you know, the Las Vegas line has supported that. You know, I look at it from every direction. I keep finding myself saying the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they have the better defense. I think they're better at the line of scrimmage. I still am surprised that Hurts is as good as he really is. However, when I get down to it, I'm taking Andy Reid over Nick Sirianni, and I can't overlook the fact that, to me, Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. So I'm not betting. I never bet. This pick means very little, but after plenty of days, I'm going to take Kansas City here to win the Super Bowl on Sunday. How about you?
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I think for reasons that you hinted at, I think this is going to be an absolute mauling in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I think Mahomes is going to have difficulty handling the pass rush of Philadelphia. And conversely, I think the Eagles are going to have running lanes all day long. And they are so good with Jalen Hurts on the read option and the room they're able to create for Miles Sanders. I think they are going to churn through the Chiefs' run defense. And then I think Philadelphia has enough weapons through the air between Brown and Smith and Goddard that Jalen Hurts is going to have a big-time day, a very efficient day throwing the ball through the air. I like Philadelphia big. I've got a 34-23 Eagles.
All right, there you go. That is Hayes Carline. I'll go the other way. I'll take Kansas City by a field goal. Got a little bit lower scoring. I'm going to take it 24-21. As always, we do value your comments, and you can get me, Blue1010XL. Hayes, give them your Twitter, and as well, thank our sponsor.
Yeah, be happy to. Yeah, reach out to us. I'm at Twitter, at Hayes Carline, and want to thank our good friend John Spickelmeyer, who, just to amend that story, went on to play at Notre Dame for Lou Holtz when Notre Dame was certainly rolling in the early 90s there, and just a fantastic guy. You could not have a guy with more integrity helping you through your car insurance, which we all have to have. So give him a call, 471-7155, Spickelmeyer Insurance Agency. Again, just have him look at your policy. He'll get back to you that day. You just send him the information and he'll look at it and he'll just tell you, I can't help you. This policy's good. I can't save you any money. But there are things that sometimes might be in your policy, circumstances in life change. John can kind of ask you some questions, figure some things out for you, and hopefully save you some money. So again, Spickelmeyer Insurance Agency, 471-7155.
All right, folks, enjoy the second week of February. It's a beautiful time of year right here in Duval. And as always, we do thank you for listening to Death, Taxes, and Duval. 20, 20, 20.